Good evening. The time is 6:30. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Welcome to the fourth in our series of live election forums on Raven Radio. Tonight we're featuring the next mayor of Sitka, who will be either Matt Hunter, Mary Magnuson, or Ben Maiasato. We'll be taking listener calls tonight. The number to call if you have a question for the candidates is 747-5877. You can also email your questions to news@kcaw.org or post a comment on the forum thread on the Raven Radio Facebook page, which I have up right in front of me here in the air room. We've had three previous forums last week, one with school board candidates, one with assembly candidates, and a very lively discussion of ballot Proposition 1, which asks voters to raise the property tax cap in Sitka by 2 mills. You can listen to these forums in their entirety on our website, kcaw.org. We'll also have a short profile story about each of the 10 candidates for municipal office on our website, kcaw.org, as soon as each story is ready. Since this is an even-numbered year, the October 4th municipal election is just our first visit to the polls this autumn. On Tuesday, November 8th, we'll vote for our legislative representation in Juneau and in Washington, D.C. We are coordinating with Sitka High School in Mount Edgecombe to hold a candidate forum with incumbent Jonathan Christ Tompkins and challenger Sheila Finkenbinder on Monday, October 17th at 6:30 p.m. That event will be held in the Sitka Performing Arts Center. And I just learned today that there is an official write-in challenge to Senator Bert Stedman's seat from Michael Sheldon of Petersburg. We'll see what we can do to pull in coverage of that race, too. Again, this is a call-in forum with our mayoral candidates for Sitka's mayor's seat. Matt Hunter is here, Mary Magnuson, and Ben Maiasato. I'm Raven Radio News Director Robert Woolsey, inviting you to give us a call at 747-5877. But first, we'll just open up the microphones and talk a little bit to our candidates and find out how they're doing. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, Rob.
And Matt, you're here as well, just making sure you're on mic. And
yes,
sounding
thank
good.
You for the invitation.
And good evening, Ben.
Good evening, Robert, and all those people out there in Raven Radio land.
Yeah, hi, everyone. And we were just remarking before we went on the air that we've had quite an election run this year. There's lots of candidates for office and lots of issues. And this is the last in our series, and it's about the mayor's race. And we're going to talk a lot about some of the issues that the Assembly will be facing in the coming months. But first, Matt, I just wanted to invite you. I'll just sort of start right here and work around. I just wanted to invite you to sort of introduce yourself a little bit and explain what kind of mayor you'd like to be.
Thank you. My name is Matthew Hunter. I'm a lifelong Sitkan. I just turned 34 years old last month, and I teach at Mount Edgecombe High School. This is my 11th year teaching math and science and EMT. And I've been on the Assembly for the past 3 years as deputy mayor. I've run a few meetings. And as mayor, whoever gets to be mayor will set the tone of the meetings. And I think I do a good job of being respectful and inviting to comments and making sure that we have fair, efficient meetings as well. And I would like to continue to chair meetings and help facilitate the discussions that we're going to have if we're going to solve the problems that we're facing today. I'm optimistic that we'll find Sitka a much more sustainable place in the near future.
All right. Thanks, Matt Hunter. Mary Magnuson, what kind of mayor do you think you'd be?
Well, I'd be a very accessible mayor. I welcome phone calls and emails and visits to see me at my business. I am at the point in my life where I feel like I can devote the time and energy that a mayor really needs to be able to devote. I've recently opened a business in January when everybody said, you can't do that. And I said, well, there is no can't in my vocabulary. We can do what we need to do. And as a mayor, that would be my approach, that we need to all collaborate together and decide what our community needs, what it requires, what our municipal responsibilities are. And I'm sorry, we just don't have the money for any fluff right now. We already have a tremendous recreational base in town, and it's time to start looking for industry.
And Mary, you can tell us the name of your business.
There's it's the Mean Queen.
Yeah,
it's the new pizza place in town, and soon to be our newest nightclub.
Downstairs, right?
Downstairs, okay. Right, with music and party opportunities and art shows and just a new general venue in town.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it's going well for you. Ben Maiasato, tell us a little bit about yourself and what kind of mayor you'd like to be.
Born and raised here in Sitka. I did 20 years in the banking industry and 20 years in the Alaska Army National Guard. I've gone on 2 deployments, and I was awarded the Combat Infantry Badge back in 2005. Retired from the Guard back in 2010. I just accidentally or sort of kind of coerced into politics back in 2011. Was elected onto Sitka Tribe of Alaska's council. I've been 2 years as their vice chairman and 2 years as its treasurer, and this is one of those where having that background does help, and I've also served, as of next month, it'll be 3 years on assembly, and this is important to have that experience because we are facing some very trying times when it comes to the budget issue. You know, if for those who listen in on the assemblies, our city administrator, Mark Gorman, did say that the $2.5 million budget deficit is probably not, it's going to be bigger than that. So this is one of those troubling parts of what we are facing, and this is where we will need to have that fiscal discipline. And as treasurer, this is something that we've definitely had to exercise over at Sitka Tribe of Alaska. We are not able to raise revenue through taxation. We have to live within our budget, and we did so in such manner that we have had a budget surplus in 14, a budget surplus in 15, and a projected budget surplus in 2016. That, to me, shows that we were living, the tribe was operating within their means and staying under budget. And this is going to be something the city will definitely have to do, is live within their means and to not see that budget go any bigger than the projected.
All right. Thanks, candidate Ben Maiasato. And Ben, you're a current assembly member. This will be the end of your 3-year term.
Correct.
Right?
So if I'm not elected as mayor, I'm off the assembly, which is perfectly fine with me. I've operated, I've served on assembly and council both at the same time, and I can tell you this, it's literally in every week for both.
Yeah, you're kind of dating two governments at one time. It's hard.
One thing it has done is it definitely helps see the city and the tribal government work together, and I know what's going on at both levels.
All right. Thank you, Ben. And Matt, you are in the middle of your second term as a sitting assembly member.
That's correct. And I'm finishing the first year of my second term, so this is my 4th year in office, and if I'm not elected mayor, I will remain in the assembly chair for 2 more years, and if I am elected mayor, then the new assembly, after being sworn in, will appoint someone to fill the second year of my term, and then in the general election the following year, we'll elect 3 assembly members, 2 to 3-year terms and 1 to 1-year term.
Right. All right. Thanks, Matt. And Mary, you have run for office before as an assembly person.
Yes,
unsuccessfully.
Yes, I did, unsuccessfully.
Okay. So three veterans of the Sitka political scene here tonight. We'd love to hear from you, 747-5877. You can email questions to news@kcaw.org. Or you can post a question on our on this forum thread on our Facebook page, Raven Radio. We've got our first call tonight. Hi, do you have a question for our mayor candidates?
I do. I'm wondering what they would do to ensure that a person's voice is heard. It seems like we've gone further away from a representative form of government when we limit everybody from the public to 3 minutes on any issue, and we allow city staff to talk forever.
All right. Thank you very much for your question. Mary, I want to invite you to take a crack at that first. But before you do, I want to let callers know that we'd like you to turn down your radio when you make a call, and that'll ease the feedback problem. Mary Magnuson, your thoughts on more listener, more public participation in at the assembly?
Well, I'd like to thank the caller for the question because, excuse me, I think this is a very important thing that's been lacking a little bit. I think we need more transparency in our city government, and I think we need more citizen involvement. And it would be my intention to answer every phone call, every email, every letter. And I've been thinking about the fact that we should probably have some town hall meetings several times a year where the assembly goes and sits and listens to citizens that have things to say that are not going to come to an assembly meeting. It's not a three-minute talk. I had a gentleman talking to me last night about the Blue Lake Dam Road and the fact that it's closed and that he's hunted there all of his life. And I think that these kind of concerns need to be addressed. And perhaps a town hall forum or just to seem more welcoming as an assembly to citizens' approach.
All right. Thank you, Mary Magnuson. Ben Maiasato, how do you make the assembly more welcoming?
That is a good question, and the one thing that we do have the opportunity to address and spend more time is at the commission or committee level. Some of those, though, that we do have the votes that are presented before the assembly, you are only subject to the 3 minutes, but the one thing, when it is at the commission or committee level on some of these issues, that's when I personally think the meat and potatoes part of it, when you can really spend more time regarding that issue, and this is where some of those that we have voted on, especially when it comes to those presented by the Citizens Tax Task Force, they literally had months and months of meetings, and it was over 25, 30 hours of the chance for the public to get their opinions heard on them. And this is one of those where I kept asking, is the public participating? Personally, the 3 minute is short. That's where I like to write down every single person's name that comes before the assembly and hopefully get a chance to thank them, whether I agree or disagree with them. This is where it takes courage to go up there and sit before the assembly and ask some of those questions or bring up some of the issues that we are voting on. And I know from past when I was the liaison as the vice chairman of STA going before those, it is a little bit, it's not easy to go up there and present yourself before the assembly. You know, you've got the video camera going on, you've got radio there, and it's broadcast live, and it's one of those where the 3 minutes, if you don't have something well prepared, it feels like you don't have enough time, and then you have that buzzer going off and you feel like, well, I'm not all the way done. But it does serve purpose, you know, when you talk about having the meetings not go on longer than they're supposed to, you know, and they do have a cutoff for when the assembly meeting is concluded. And having the 3 minute, that's where you can get your, if it's an important subject, personally I always tell people, write down what you're gonna say, practice it, and find out if it stays in under the 3 minutes. If not, there is a couple chances and opportunity to do your persons to be heard.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben Maiasato. Matt, we're going to bring this question to you as well, and maybe you can package it into this answer. But speaking of the public, we have a caller on the line. Hi, Don. Oh, Don is gone. Matt, the question is more public access to the assembly.
Thank you. Thank you, Valerie, for the question. One of the things that I prioritize as an assembly member is always sending emails in return to emails I receive, so people know that I've read what they've written. I read everything that comes before me, and I do my very best to call people back too. And I have not been 100% on either of those, but I do my best. At the assembly table, we have the 3-minute rule so that we can ensure that everyone has a chance to be heard and that we can get our business done. It would be very easy for people to talk at length about issues to which they're very emotionally engaged, and it could be a half hour before someone gets to their point. And we all know this from speaking with people. If people submit anything to the assembly, it goes to all of us. If they drop something off in paper at City Hall, it gets submitted to all of us. If they come in and give something to us at the meeting, then the municipal clerk does a great job of making sure we all receive it. I like the ideas that Mary brought up of more town hall type meetings. Ben mentions our commissions and committees. All these are wonderful further places for people to engage in the public process. But we do need to be transparent, and we need to welcome people to speak, and I will do my very best to do that should I be lucky to be mayor.
Thank you, Matt Hunter. We have another caller on the line. This is David. Do you have a question for our mayor candidates?
Yes, I do. Probably Mary in specific, but all of them could answer. I've heard in the past from a lot of candidates, they say to increase the industrial base in Sitka. And I think outside of bulk water, I don't really see what can be done to attract more industry. We're not on a major transportation route. And I just don't know. And it costs a lot to ship and stuff. So maybe she could enlighten me on what industry specifically she's thinking of.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, David, for your call. And I think this is a question that all candidates should answer. Ben Maiasato is actually in the hot seat with the first response to this. Expanding, what realistically can we do to expand Sitka's industrial base? And just a reminder to callers to please turn down your radios at home.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you for your question. That is something. We do have excess electricity now, which can hopefully be attractive to business to move to Sitka. I know from a prior serving assembly member, he did discuss with me before I was on assembly that was something that a high-tech firm was thinking of moving to Sitka. They came here, did their site study, and they looked at what was here and the education, the infrastructure and all that. And at that time, we did not have the excess electricity to be able to bring them here. We do have that now, and this is something, serving on council, I know this was a very, very early discussion of having a data storage company relocate here or to move here, and this is something that what they were looking for is the geographic isolation. They were looking for excess electricity. So that possibility of them moving here was discussed. And I think this is something that somewhere out there, there probably are businesses that are looking for that type of place to relocate. And I think that Sitka will serve them well if they do.
All right. Thanks, Ben Maiasato. Matt Hunter, your thoughts on expanding Sitka's industrial base?
Thank you. I'm not an experienced businessman or worker of industry here, but I am very open to any suggestions or ideas that people bring forward. Some things that we can probably do are grow our existing businesses and ask people what the city can do to help. Something that we're currently working on through our electric department is helping businesses convert to interruptible power so that they can gain efficiencies in electrical consumption or in energy prices, and that would also help our community. We currently fund CETA, the Sitka Economic Development Association, and they work on advocating for businesses out at Gary Pax Industrial Park and elsewhere in Sitka and our bulk water. We fund the Visitors Bureau through the tourism bed tax monies. So there's a lot of things we can do. I know there's a potential for increased businesses on the fish side. I think Mary mentioned this at the chamber about additional fish products. Well, I'll let her speak to that. But what it really comes down to is talk to us at the assembly. And if you have ideas for business or anything like that, please talk to us. And we need jobs in town to keep our young folk here. So I'm very open to any ideas.
Thank you, Matt Hunter. Mary Magnuson.
Thank you. My main thoughts initially are about a marine yard out at the Sawmill Creek or the Gary Paxton Industrial Park. I think it's an ideal space for it. There's been quite an expensive study done indicating that it's going to have a moderate chance of success. Having fished between Monterey and Yakutat, basically, and been in yards all up and down the coast over the years, I know that Sitka can support a major yard and keep our boats from going to Wrangell or Petersburg or Hoonah to haul out. Shipyard jobs pay great money. Even the guys doing the power washing are making $5, $6, $7 over minimum wage. Shipwrights make very good money. Welders, all the services associated with boats. We have 5 harbors full of boats. However, I do not believe that the city should operate that yard. I believe that we should offer favorable conditions to entice a yard from down below somewhere that is struggling with all of the regulations that all of the communities have. Not that we would do it in an irresponsible way at all. Of course, we would require the proper containment, et cetera, et cetera. But we have that land sitting there. It's not making us any money, and it's not providing us any jobs. So that's what I'd like to see.
Thank you, Mary Magnuson. The number to call is 747-5877 if you have a question for our mayor candidates here in Sitka. We have a call on the line from Don. Don, do you have a question for our mayor candidates?
Yeah, I do. I appreciate the candidates talking about increasing opportunities for employment in town. I guess I'm curious, as you know, the city is currently out of money, the state is out of money, and we can't get any help from the feds. I'm curious as to what specific thoughts the city has about either increasing revenues for the city or decreasing expenses for the city.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call, Don, and sorry about the sound quality there. The question is, he appreciates the fact that you have ideas towards expanding Sitka's industrial base, but the state and city governments are in a bit of a budget crunch. What are your ideas for decreasing expenses and increasing revenues in the city? And Matt, you're the first answer.
Thank you, Don, for the tough question. This is what we've all been talking about quite a bit recently. There is no easy answer. There's no one thing we can do, but I would like to start with whoever's mayor. I think we need to have some assembly visioning sessions where we meet. We did this early on as in my first term as assembly. Talk about all the options that are on the table, hear from staff, and really look at everything from revenue and also at expenses. So some ideas, if this millage rate increase does not pass, there's other things we can do. We can look at all of our current exemptions from sales taxes. We can look at new revenue that may be coming in from marijuana businesses. We'll see how that works out in the next few years. But we have other options on the table also. We could have a tax for gasoline. We could have a vehicle registration tax. There's a ton of ideas, and I am not behind any one of those strongly. We need to have discussions about the pros and cons. On the expenses side, we're down 6 city positions from just a couple years ago. We cut about $1 million out of the budget last year. There's more room for some cuts, hopefully through attrition and reorganization. We're going to start facing decreased services. And as Mary's mentioned, we have some good services right now, and we need to start looking at anything that we currently have that we can do away with or reduce. And we did cut the offices at the utility billing office when someone retired, and that we've actually received quite a bit of flack from that from a few folks in town, but that saved about $40,000 or $50,000 for the year. So we can find things like that that are small, and it's going to take some big discussions to get through that, and I'm going to also look for input from the community. Everyone says cut, but people aren't really saying what to cut, and that's what we need to hear.
OK. Okay. Thank you, Matt Hunter. Mary Magnuson, your thoughts on increasing revenues and decreasing expenses in City Hall?
Well, I seriously think that one of the ways that we can produce some revenue, it won't be completely sustainable, but we can get some work done by releasing some city land for sale. The city owns lots all over town. They own large tracts of property that don't create a single dime of property tax. Those lots need to be sold. That money needs to go into the permanent fund, and then we need to tap that money. We need that money now. It's not a rainy day. It is a rainy day. And the rainy day fund is just for a blunder like the dam has been, that we should be able to tap some of that fund to help pay those interest-only bonds, as I've come to know, and we can't even pay down the principal like you would do on your house if you had extra money. I think we need to look at more reduction in services. We are a very small town. We do not need 40-hour-a-week access to every single department in our city, and we need to look at that and figure it out. And another way to save money is we have funded a bunch of studies, a lot of studies. And in my opinion, we have a highly educated city staff that can be producing these reports themselves. They are not a surprise to me.
All right. Thank you, Mary Magnuson. Ben Maiasato, the question is, what about decreasing city expenses and increasing revenues?
Thank you, Robert. And I'm going to echo something that Robert has been saying all night about please turn down your radio, because we can hear the feedback. And when we're listening on the question, we're hearing a lot of feedback and not the question itself. So please, people, that's good advice from Robert. Regarding that question, increasing revenue, as mentioned by Mary, and this is something I support, is we, and this is something I know it's being discussed as we speak by a our, can't remember if it's Planning Commission or one of the ones that Megan Bozek is on, about selling land. But at the same time, when you do sell the land, at least set some of that aside for affordable housing, such as microhouses or trailers, something to that effect. And that will also, at the same time, bring in revenue and keep people here. And what Matt has mentioned is spot on. This is something... You keep telling us you want to decrease our government, but how do we get about that? And this is one of those where public input, and I'm a firm believer in that the more people that give their ideas and opinions on this matter, the better off it will serve this community. We definitely need to find out from them what they can live without, because, you know, I've already mentioned this previously. You know, STA, we already had our budget crunch 3 years ago, and we made it through. The city, yes, they had a budget deficit, and we did make some cuts, you know, but I think their cuts can be even more, but as long as it's not affecting service. But we do need to live within our means.
All right. Thanks, Ben Maiasato. We have another caller. The number is 747-5877. You can email questions to news@kcaw.org or post a question on the Raven Radio Facebook thread. Hi, Alice. Do you have a question for our mayor candidates?
Well, actually, on the subject of new industry, there was a company at one time that wanted to produce fertilizer from the refuse from the fish processing plants. And... they couldn't do it because there wasn't enough electricity at that time. But I haven't heard anybody suggesting that we encourage someone come in here and do that. It would not only would use more electricity, it would get the fish guts out of the channel, and it would supply jobs.
Thanks very much for your question, Alice. Mary Magnuson, do you have an answer?
Thank you so much for this conversation. I'm aware of that transaction that tried to happen and did not. I am also aware of a fish oil company that produces vitamin supplement type things with fish oil that tried very hard to get some space out at the industrial park and was unable to. We need to be more inviting to these businesses that are going to use our fish waste, which is exactly what creating that fish oil or a fertilizer would do. Fort Bragg, California has a quite lovely little fish meal plant that produces fertilizer that has fertilized Northern California for years, and they have no discharge into their river there because all of it is picked up and trucked and reused and does not pollute the river. There's no odor. That's exactly the kind of businesses that we want to entice here, that we're providing basically a free product for them. We can offer them a decent lease space on land and decent electric rates and produce jobs here.
Thanks, Mary Magnuson. Ben Maiasato, your thoughts in response to Alice's question about fertilizer production.
That is a good question. I myself sort of remember when that happened, and I do remember the big issue was that there was not enough electricity. There is now, and if they were to ever come back and say, hey, we want to do this, this is something the city should say, we do want you here. Whether they're willing to come back after that time frame when that happened, that's to be seen. But if they do, I definitely would welcome and say, come to Sitka, and, you know, we would like to have you here.
Thanks, Ben. Matt Hunter?
Thank you, Alice, for the question. I remember also a fish food plant that tried to go in, I think by Alan Marine there. There's going to be a fish food out of fish waste. I think that's probably one of our greatest areas that we could potentially grow as secondary products from our fish. We do grind up a lot of waste downtown. It goes up in the channel, and I've heard that the EPA is not going to allow that at some point in the near future, and this would be a great way not to have to truck all the waste out of town if we could turn it into fertilizer or fish oil, as Mary mentioned. Interestingly, when the city did recently sell a few plots of land to Silver Bay Seafoods, one of the plots was the old wastewater treatment building out there, and that was slated in their proposal to be a fish oil capsule plant at some point in the near future. So I think some of this will happen. And we do have additional lots out there that are for sale. And frankly, any city land is for sale if someone comes to us with a decent proposal and a nice offer. Consider selling any city land.
All right. Thanks, Matt Hunter. Since we're on the subject of Silver Bay, Mary, you might have been engrossed in starting the Mean Queen, but Silver Bay did come forward to the Gary Paxton Industrial Park Board with a plan to buy up the land and develop a private marine service center at Gary Paxton Industrial Park. There was potential conflict with another potential property buyer. I just wondered if you guys, how efficient you feel the process is out there. I mean, it sounds like we had the thing that you were just speaking about, Mary, a private marine service yard backed by a legitimate business. I don't know. I'll just open up to anybody. Are we not handling Gary Paxton Industrial Park correctly?
Well, I would speak to that, Rob, because I spent most of last evening reading the report that was forwarded to me by Gary White. And it was quite a long, protracted study about having a marine yard out there. And every bit of it was focused on the city doing it. The city building a multi-purpose dock, the city doing this, the city doing that. We need to just turn that land over to private enterprise like Silver Bay, let them build what they build. We're going to tax what they build. We're going to reap the benefits of the workers there having great jobs. Silver Bay is pretty good to their people. And they rent a big office space downtown. They spend a lot of money in town. They pay a lot of taxes. And there's no reason not to thoroughly entertain them running the marine yard. They'll do it at a profit, but they won't make it ridiculous because they're going to be serving their own fishermen in a big way. So I would be wholly in favor of them taking over and putting a marine yard in there, because I don't want the city to do it.
Thanks, Mary Magnuson. Anybody else want to jump in on the idea of Gary Paxton Industrial Park and why some good ideas don't seem to come to pass down there?
I can't recall the exact discussions we had at the table on that one. I do remember the proposal. There was some concern from the community and from fishermen saying Silver Bay Seafoods is a very successful business but does not represent all fishermen in town, and there was concerns about fairness in operations. Also, the proposal was connected with the operation out at Old City or Old Sitka dock area there, and it'd be the same operators running the only boatyard in town. There's a lot of concern about that as well. I know that this was heavily advertised as, like, give us proposals, and we got one proposal back. And I remember a lackluster recommendation coming to the assembly. I don't remember people being super excited about it. Silver Bay has purchased a plot of land in the center there that's going to be a cold storage for some of their value-added processing in the future. And there was concern also about basically the remaining land in the park all going to one entity. So I am certainly not going to say never or no to that proposal permanently. I just didn't, I don't remember a compelling argument to bite that lure. It also, as I think Mary mentioned, was based a lot on the city using our $7 million legislative appropriation to build a specific type of haul-out facility that would then be managed, leased, or sold to, I don't think we can sell it, but it could be leased to another entity to use. There was also another business that wanted to go in there and work at that boatyard that was not going to be allowed to under that agreement, a gentleman who does...
Alaska Pacific and Packing.
Correct. He does all the cold storage type businesses. So there was a lot of discussion, and it seemed like it wasn't as clear-cut as some other issues. So if more opportunities like that come forward, I will continue to listen to input from the community. But I think it'd be great to have a haul-out. I don't think the city should run it, as Mary mentioned.
Do you have any thoughts on that? A whole episode, Ben, the Sawmilko or Gary Paxton Industrial Park turning away a competitive offer for a marine service yard?
This is one where I'm going to be in agreement with Matt. The one thing that there was voiced was that this was not going to be fair to all of the fishing boats here in Sitka. There was concern regarding having someone that is existing out there in the industrial park running a boat haul out, and that to me seemed that was a valid concern, that maybe if it was some other private entity that was wanting to do this, there would be more support for it. But this is one where Gary Paxton Industrial Park, the board, you know, they presented that to the assembly, and like Matt was saying, didn't seem like there was a whole lot of yes, we should go forward with this. If there's the bidding process put forward again, and there's more than one, I'd be all for having that competitive process if it were so that it would be fair to all the fishing boats here in Sitka.
All right. Thanks, Ben Mayasato. We have a caller on the line. Paulette, you have a question for our mayor candidates.
I do. Thank you, sir, and thank you for Raven Radio and K-Cloth for hosting this candidate forum. Good evening. I've had the opportunity, as many Sitkins have had, in getting to know our three fine mayoral candidates, and I wish them all equally luck and good wishes in this election. So my question is in regards to this. It's been on my mind personally lately a lot that with the recent city crises that have happened within the last year or two, especially, and I'm sure even before that, I want to know that the person that is at helm as the mayor not only is able to chair a meeting and follow out the wish of the Assembly, the body, and the community at large, but also really that in a crisis situation would be able to have personal or professional qualities that they feel will serve us people here on the island of Sitka and keep us safe at a time of crisis. So my question is to each one of the mayoral candidates, what qualifies you uniquely to handle a crisis?
Thank you very much for your call, Paulette. Ben Maiasato, you're up. What personal and professional qualities uniquely qualify you to lead Sitka in a time of crisis?
Well, that is a very good question, and I'm going to give you my straightforward answer. I myself personally have handled very trying circumstance having served overseas in combat, and this is one of those I already know for a fact that I can keep my faculties and my mind sharp and be able to handle anything. And this is one of those where knowing that, I'm not too worried about if something were to happen and if I was mayor, because I know I've already been tested and I've already proved to myself and to others that I can handle extreme circumstances. And this is where, yes, there will be times when the mayor, that office, will have to be asked to be there for the public. And I say this because of August 18th of last year. And our mayor did a very fine job of representing to the public, a very calm presence when it was needed. So this is one of those that I myself personally, having been through the crucible of war, I know that I'll be able to handle any situation that if it ever does arise that I can handle it.
Thank you, Ben Maiasato. Matt Hunter, your personal and professional qualities that would make you a good leader in a crisis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paulette, for the question. I am well-versed in our city's emergency plans through my volunteering at the fire department with our search and rescue and EMS divisions. We had a tsunami warning of 3 or 4 years ago. I went to Kikushihin to our emergency operations center and sat in on that. If we have a major emergency, our fire chief is in charge of our emergency response and operations, and the mayor's job at that point comes up when it's time to speak to the press on behalf of the city. We also have what's the name of that position? It's a public information officer, the PIO, as part of our emergency operations plan, who takes care of a lot of that too. I have a cool head in crises and medical emergencies, and have been on about 800 EMS calls so far. I love this town. I'll do my best, and I hope not to have to be in charge if we have a landslide, but or anything else, but if it does occur, I'm confident I will be up for the task.
Thanks, Matt Hunter. Mary Magnuson, your personal and professional qualities to make you a good leader in a crisis.
Well, thank you, Paulette, for calling in. I commercial fished for 18 years. There's no bigger emergency in your life when your anchor starts to drag. You got to maintain a cool head, and you got to take care of business. And that translates right over to the city. I believe the mayor's job in this instance would be to help coordinate, make sure that all of the entities are getting the information they need, people are getting what they require to do whatever the task at hand is. Of course, people in charge are going to be our EMS, are going to be our fire department, our police department, our public works department. The mayor's job would be to oversee that, make sure everybody's communicating correctly, and to keep a cool head while all about you are losing it is something that just needs to be done. And from a business standpoint, people don't show up, so you step in and you do the job. And you need to be prepared and be cross-trained as much as possible to step into a position that isn't filled for whatever reason, the person's out of town or whatever, to just be able to keep a cool head and try and help best you can.
Thanks, Mary Magnuson.